Pastor, do you have the freedom to piggyback on something you said? First of all, you are the richest man in the world. You're sitting next to somebody who loves you and loves God. You are. Glory to God. It's funny you were saying what you were saying this morning. Well, God's been dealing with me on faith as I've been talking to you guys about faith a lot. And he reminded me of a scripture in Matthew chapter 19, around verse 29. And before he took me to the scripture, he says, what do I ask of you? You've heard people say, oh, God doesn't want anything from us. Salvation's free. Well, there's truth to that. We can't earn salvation. We can't do anything to gain favor by God. But it is a deception for anyone to say God doesn't want anything from us. And the reason I say that is because he wants everything from us. God wants everything. In Matthew chapter 19, this has nothing to do with my message. It was something on my heart, and I feel that it'll go in line with what pastor's saying. It says verse 28, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, he who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and father and mother and wife or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. It also, another translation says, in this life and in the life to come. And God had asked me the question. He says, how much do I want from you? And I said, well, everything. You want my heart. You want everything. How much is my everything? He said, how much is your everything? And I thought, well, everything that I have, my wife, my home, my family, what I have in my material possessions. And he says, how much is my everything? If I give you everything, sorry, it just reminded me of something that he showed me on Wednesday night. And he said, how much is my everything? I said, well, your everything is everything. It's the universe. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. And he had reminded me, there's a scripture, it says, glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have abundance in every area of your life. Or another translation, it says, in every good work. God's all, God's everything is a lot more than you have. So let's not think so highly of what we have. If he says, give me everything, then give him everything, because he's going to give back to us infinitely more than we could ever give to him. Amen? Was that a freedom to say that? I just felt you kind of opened the door, and he was speaking to me about this morning. So don't be afraid to give him that tenth, and then don't be afraid to give him whatever else he instructs you to give. Because like pastor says over and over and over again, you can't outgive God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's get on to what God's given me. I just had that in my spirit this morning and thought I ought to share it. Is that okay? That was free. Man, glory to God. Well, I'm going to read a scripture and then I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing on this. The scripture is Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. It's not really, it'll tie in, but it's just a good place to start and open up. It says, do not be deceived. Now, I think this is a great transition from what pastor was saying. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will receive everlasting life. In the spotlight, sorry, this is distracting me more than anything else. There it is. Oh, now I see little sparklies, little lights. No, it's just your shining faces. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for the teaching of your word, Father. We thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us right now as we dig into your word, as we find out your truths, your deep and secret things that the Holy Spirit can only reveal to us. We prepare our hearts right now to receive from you, that it'd be good ground, and that we would receive that seed, it would grow and produce a harvest of 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Everything we do, everything we say is a seed. Everything. Every day we are planting seeds and we don't even realize it. And when we sow to the Spirit, we reap everlasting life. And that isn't... there is delayed gratification in serving God, but there is also gratification right now that he wants us to have. The word says he wants us to enjoy our life. That he created these things for our enjoyment. He is in our life for our enjoyment. So if we sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit we receive everlasting life. I'll also say what Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3. God's been working on me in the area of faith, as I've been talking about numerous times. But he's also, there's infinite number of areas of faith that God will be working on through our lives at various moments. And one of them, although there's a couple very specific ones, one of them is in the area of relationships. First and foremost, my relationship with him. But secondly, I would say my relationship with my wife. Thirdly, I'd say my relationship with others. And in John chapter 17 and verse 3, it says, "And this is eternal life." Glory to God. I didn't even look at the two connections when I put those scriptures together. Oh, hallelujah. Sorry, I'm just having a revelation here. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." What did we read before in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8? It says, "And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Let's go back to John chapter 17 and verse 3. Oh, I love this. This is awesome. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent." So I'm going to do what I'm just going to take from people who do things so well. I'm going to take a little play off of words. I liked how you said that, Pastor. "And this is eternal life, that they sow into their relationship to know you better, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Do I have freedom to say that? That seems about right, right? With those two things? That we will sow into our relationship with God to know him better, to have eternal life. Eternal life, essentially, yeah, we'll be with Christ forever. And technically, we're not going to be in heaven because he's going to be bringing heaven to earth. Eternal life is to know God personally, and to be with him, and to know him intimately, and to have a first-hand knowledge, first-hand experience. This "no" isn't "someone told me, so I know of." This is "I have experienced, and I know for myself." That is eternal life. What are we experiencing right now if we've experienced God? Eternal life. Eternal life does not start when we die. We already died. Did you forget? In Romans chapter 6, it says, when Christ died, he conquered death once and for all. And when he died, we died with him, and we have also been raised with him. Therefore, we are dead to sin. We are dead to the curse of the law and the curse of sin, for we have been risen with him. Therefore, our eternal life has begun the moment we say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord, be my partner, be my everything. I give my life to you. Amen? Yes. Glory to God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. This actually was the verse of scripture that God had. I have read this and read this and read this, and sometimes God will just say, I want to show you something a little different. I want to change your perspective just a little bit more. I want to enhance my word to you so you can see something else. So let's look at something else, something God had showed me and I got real excited about. We're going to go Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I'm going to stop right there and just say, the rest of the world needs to hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus. Therefore, your testimony counts. I'm going to get off of that and go on to the next thing. And your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord and Savior, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that's the intimate knowing of, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, that's intimately know, that's personally know, that's not third person know, what is the hope of his calling? What is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? We'll continue on verse 19 and maybe even 20 and 21. Let's go to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And I have this memorized, but I don't know this translation. I believe it says, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. I'm going to stop there, and we don't even need, if you're generating it, it's okay. I think that has become one of my favorite passages of Scripture. That is kind of the, if I'm having a pity party day, if things just aren't going right, I read that and it gets me worked up because it shows me who God is in me, who I am in Him, and what He has prepared for us. Amen? So look at, I'm going to look at verse 17 and 18 again, and that's really kind of where God was showing me some things. He says, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who is the spirit of wisdom and revelation? The Holy Spirit. When Christ went up, he says, I have to go so that I can send my spirit down to be with you. So he has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him because he wants us to have an intimate and enhanced knowledge of who he is, that the eyes of our understanding would be illuminated or enlightened, that we would know the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? God doesn't want us to be a mystery. Let me rephrase that. God doesn't want to be a mystery to us. He wants us to know him intimately. No secrets. The word says that the deep secrets that God has would be revealed through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when we seek God, there is nothing that about God and who he is that he wants to withhold from us. Nothing. He doesn't want to be a mystery to the world. He wants to reveal his glory, reveal his promises, reveal the the inheritance and the riches of his glory that he would have for us. He wants us to know him better. Amen. He wants you to know him better. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I'll try to be a little bit better. I kind of expanded things. We're getting used to a new system here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I'm turned to there, but I'm going to hold on to something in Ephesians chapter 1 real quick, just something I'd written down that I think is really important. It says, he gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I was just sharing with someone, I don't know who it was, but I was sharing with someone, I think it was yesterday as a matter of fact, in James chapter 1, you don't have to turn to there, just write it down, and I believe it was verse 3 or 4. No, it was a little further than that. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We can ask for more wisdom so that we can understand our God more. And that wisdom is going to come through the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to know God better. Because the more we know of him, the more we can depend on him for greater number of areas in our life. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You have been named. This has nothing to do with anything, but I just think it's great. We have been named by the Father. Amen. Isn't that great? We have a heavenly name. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, there's the riches of his glory again, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, can we get verse 18? May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God, lacking nothing. Anything God has is for us. That we would comprehend. Are we going to be able to fully grasp right now here on earth with our noggins God's love in its full measure? Are we going to be able to get that? No. But that we would have the revelation that it is just so vast that there isn't anything in this world that his love doesn't cover. We can know that, right? We can have the revelation that his love is so great that no matter where I go, no matter what situation I'm in, no matter who I'm with, no matter what I'm facing, his love is that deep, that high, that wide, that long, and it will cover everything. Amen? So that we will be filled with all, say all. How much is all? It's all. All the fullness of God. Amen? He doesn't want us to lack anything, and that comes through the revelation of knowing him better. Think for a moment of why God gave us his written word. Abraham had an intimate knowledge of God through the experiences that he had with God through faith. Moses knew God intimately because he stepped out in faith and gained experiences in seeing what God would do through him and with him in his life. When Joshua, you could turn to it in Joshua 1:5 and also in 3:7, God tells Joshua, I will be with you just as I was with Moses. Or so I was with Moses, I will also be with you. Our knowledge of God and our intimacy in knowing God is through the word, it's through prayer. It's also when we're walking in faith and experiencing what God can do for us and through us. But that can only occur when we do as Peter did and stepped out of the boat. Step into what would be perceived as an impossible situation and say, Lord, I trust that you called me. I'm going out. You enabled me to do whatever it is you have me do. I'm going to walk in obedience. Then, when we've experienced whatever it is God's having us do, we can go back and share with someone our testimony and say, this is who I know God to be in my life. And the more areas of our lives we step out in faith, the more intimately we know various areas of who God is and what he can do for us. That's why he has so many names. You think of the names of Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. And each one of them, and every one of them, encapsulizes one characteristic or one area of what God can do for us in our life to know him better. Amen. Isaiah chapter 11 verse... Did I read Ephesians 3? We did read Ephesians 3. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. And this was actually... I believe it was speaking about Jesus. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That same Spirit is the Spirit we have. So this applies to us as well, because we have the very same Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It's an interesting thing about the fear of the Lord. Only through knowledge of God can we have the fear of the Lord. Only from the fear of the Lord can we receive wisdom. Only from wisdom, we will truly be obedient. And through obedience, we will receive his blessing. I'm going to say that again. Through the intimate knowledge of God, we will have the fear of the Lord. With having the fear of the Lord, we will gain wisdom. With the wisdom from the Spirit, we will be obedient. And with obedience, we will receive his blessings. Amen? Hallelujah. That when God showed me that yesterday, I really got excited. It's like, okay, Lord, what was the order of that? I need to remember that because it so shows how the development of our relationship with God, each piece is connected to the other. Let's go to John 16:13. I love how over and over and over again in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of truth, God wants you to know him better. Thinking of that song, Getting to Know You Better. I don't know who sang it and where it came from, but every time I was thinking about getting to know you better, that little jingle came into my mind. I think it was from an insurance company, actually. Anyway, John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, who's the Spirit of truth? Crickets. The Holy Spirit. Who's the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit has come. He will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak of his own on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. We have the Spirit of truth on the inside of us. And everything that God is, everything that he desires, everything that he has planned for us is for us to know. If there's an area of your life that you just say, you know, I have never experienced a breakthrough, or I've never even tried to trust God in this area, ask the Holy Spirit, give me a revelation and the faith that I need to step out in this area to experience God personally. You know, think for a moment about Daniel. Daniel had a relationship with God, and it didn't matter to him that he was going to get thrown into a lion's den. Because through his experiences with God, he said, I already know who my God is and what he can do for me. Put me in the den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had personal knowledge, intimate experience with God. Therefore, they said to the king, King, throw us into the fire. He'll save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to you. That wasn't doubt. They were just saying, I don't care about your command. We know our God, and he's not going to let us be defeated one way or the other. Think of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I think I've gone to the scripture so many times, but I feel it works on many occasions. And I'm going to read it again just because I think it's a great proclamation of David's knowing God. And in the midst of the situation, there he is literally, as we say proverbially, standing in front of a giant. And he was standing in front of his giant at that moment. And he tells this giant, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Before that, he tells King Saul about his experiences with God. His knowing God wasn't from stories passed down from generation to generation, which is how they did it. His knowing God was through firsthand experience. If we're not willing to step out in faith, we won't know God the way we need to know him, and we won't be able to impart into others who need that knowledge because we weren't willing to step out in faith ourselves. There are others who will be depending on your testimony. There will be others that will be depending on your experience. Because for a moment, you may need to ride on the coattails of that person till you gain the experience yourself. Then you can let go of that coattail and say, "I got the experience for myself. Come along, because I know what my God can do. And he'll do the same thing for you." Amen. Sometimes we do need to hold on that coattail and say, "Okay, I'm going to see what God did for you, and I'm going to experience it," and say, "Okay, we got through that fire, we got over that mountain, that giant's defeated." Now you say, "Okay, come along. I'm going to show you what my God did for me." If God for you is most intimately as your most intimately as your healer, then when someone's sick, say, "Come along. My God's my healer. He's going to be yours as well." If it's a provider, "Come along. I know my God to be my provider." If he's peace, joy, whatever it is, you now get to impart that intimate knowledge that you have because of your faith in him with someone else. Amen. We need to share those experiences, those testimonies with others. In Revelation, it says, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb," because the blood covers everything, and it conquered death once and for all, "and by the word of their testimony." Their testimonies was all the declarations of what God did for them and all who God is to them. Praises, when we give praises, we're telling others, or we're telling the world, who our God is. So when we're praising God, we're telling our neighbor, our family member, our coworker, that praise goes up to God, but it's telling them, "This is my God, and I'm going to praise his name because he has done great and glorious things for me, because I am his child, because he has set aside all things for me, so for my enjoyment, and that I would have everything that I would need to accomplish what he has set me here on the earth to accomplish." Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding." Let's say that together. And we are attaining to all the riches of the fullness of all to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What a powerful passage of Scripture, amen. What a declaration that we, if we want to make a profession of faith, there's a profession of faith, that we are attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of the Son, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I love how all, always, it leaves nothing out. All. God doesn't have this little portion stashed away and say, no, I'm keeping this for me. He says, no, I'm showing you all of it. I want you to know everything. He even uses the word mysteries of God, and in whom, speaking of the Father and Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the more we know God, the more we gain and experience all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we lack something, let's examine our relationship with Him. Am I in my Word enough? Am I studying the Word enough? Am I praying? Am I spending time with God? How's my relationship with Him? I think in the last month, Denise and I have, as we've met new people in various circumstances, or in various situations, we've had the opportunity to share our story of how we came to know each other and how God put us together. And, we talk about how quickly things happen. But as I've been able to tell that story, where I've listened to Denise tell the story, I think about how little I knew her. And it had to have been God, because I'll just encapsulate a little part of it so you know how little I really knew her. We knew each other for approximately 2 years. I had gone to visit her family twice for two long weekends. We must have exchanged maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 emails and Facebook messages and a little thing through Instant Messenger or Amazon Messenger. Hey, how's it going? Hope everything's going well. That was 2 years. There was nothing. I knew that she was studying architecture. I knew that she loved her family and loved God and loved the ministry that they were called to. And I didn't know much else. She moved up here, spent 6 or 8 weeks getting to know her. And then we decided, you know what? There's more to this than meets the eye. We really do. You know, we've found a love for each other that came from God. And that was in August. And in September 15th, I proposed to her. So needless to say, I didn't know her that well, but I knew the God in her. I knew her heart. I knew enough about her that anything that I were to know from there was going to be good. But imagine for a moment, the level in which I know her now is the same level of which I knew her then. How much would I trust her? How much would I truly be able to rely on her? How much would I be able to appreciate about her if the knowledge, the intimate knowledge, the firsthand experience that I had of her was limited to that which I gained in 28 months or whatever it was? And after almost 5.5 years of marriage, imagine for a moment where our marriage would be at right now if all I knew was that which I knew in the first 28 months of our life. Almost nothing. And yet, do you know, probably a majority of the body of Christ has been okay with that? Oh yeah, I know God. God saved me. I'm going to heaven. I'm under His grace. And I'm not mocking His grace. I'm just saying that's usually one of the first things people say. Well, I'm under His grace. But if I were to sit down and ask many Christians, who is God to you? Do you know that would probably be one of the shortest conversations I'd ever have with them? And I mean no disrespect to anyone, but I've had enough conversations with people to realize that's where a lot of Christians are at. My God is my Savior. We all get that first, right at the bat. God save me from hell. I'm going to heaven. But beyond that, many people never get to God is my friend. He is my Father. His Holy Spirit is my teacher and counselor and peace and joy and all the things. He is my shield and buckler. He is my high tower. He is the one I run to. He is my banner that covers me. It takes a lifetime to get to know him, but how many of us are willing to spend the time to get to know God? So that, and I'm really glad you kept this up here, so that as we know him better, and I'll read it again because it's so rich, that we would be attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. I'm going to continue on, but I'm going to stop there. How many times, and I'm dealing with one particular thing in my life that I should have overcome years ago when God had already proven he was faithful in that area, that I would have the full assurance of understanding of every area of my life, that there is no doubt, no matter what need it is, that God's already taken care of it. That there's nothing that I need to do except be in obedience, be meek, and meekness, and I want to share this with you, and please write it down. If you're not writing anything down, write this down. Meekness, the word says that Jesus was the meekest because he lived in total obedience to the Father and the Holy Spirit. And you'll see three words that are somewhat interchangeable that are gentleness, meekness, and humility. And all of those can be simply defined, gentleness, meekness, and humility, as being obedience without resistance. Obedience without resistance. Jesus was the meekest because he was obedient without resistance. Let's go back to this again now. Having the full assurance of understanding. When God says, I'm going to take you someplace and you need to prepare yourself for it, and I'm speaking to myself, if I could put a mirror up here, I'd be saying this to me. Don't ask questions and how it's going to happen, Eric. That's one of my problems. Just say, Lord, I have the full assurance of the understanding that you have taken care of it. Peter didn't ask Jesus, how am I going to walk on that water? He just said, if you want me to come out here, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. And Peter didn't ask, so how do I do this? That would have been my problem. So how, Jesus, do I just step down? Is there something I need to say? Do I do it now? Do I wait for the wind to subside? What do I do? Jesus said, step out of the boat and come to me. Just be obedient. To the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God. Oh, he wants to show you mysteries, people. There are things that you don't have an understanding of. He wants to blow your mind of what he can do in you, with you, and through you, and for you. Boom! Why don't we ask God one day in the morning in our morning prayers, Lord, blow my mind today about the mysteries that you're going to reveal to me. Blow my mind. Blow my socks off. Show me things I'd never be able to imagine about myself, about you, and about what you want to do through me. So that in him, all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge would be ours. Think about how much you're robbing how much we are robbing ourselves from God and what he has for us. How much do we really know about God? And how much of that have we resisted to know because we weren't willing to step out in faith and just trust him and have the full assurance of understanding that he's taking care of it? How much do you not know? How much have you not experienced? How much are you robbing yourself because you're not willing to walk in faith? Eric, how much have you robbed yourself because you keep on asking why and how? Just say, Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. Anyone getting this? Because I'm I'm needing this right now, and numerous conversations I've been having with other people and saying, hey, pray with me on this. I'm struggling in this area of faith. This for me is for me. So you all go home, and I'll still continue preaching because I need it. Hallelujah. Let's go to I'm going to be closing up here in a couple more scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 through 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. God is the God of multiplication. Amen. Yeah. Amen, Jasmine. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Multiplied to her. Multiplied. I heard your voice there. Okay. So he's the multiplication for two of us. Grace and peace be multiplied to y'all in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us, say this, all things. You guys don't believe it, do you? All things. Tell Satan, I have been given all things. Pastor Barbara gets it. Who's been given all things, people? I'm getting a little impatient here. The word says that we've been given all things that pertain to what? Life, this life and the life to come, and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly, I love how he takes these words and just goes for it, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Oh, glory to God. As he said, I made you in my image and my likeness, just as he is. You have been made in his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it talks about I think it's 1st or 2nd John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But I won't go there right now. Let's go to, stay in 2nd Peter. We're going to go to verse 5 through 9 and continue on. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge or the experience, in intimate experience or firsthand experience you have of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's go to 1 John. We've got a couple more scriptures and we're closing here. Sorry. There's just a couple things I just didn't want to leave off of here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. Oh, sorry. No, 1 John 5, chapter 5 verse 9, verse 20. I was looking at another scripture. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Another version says, and I'll read it, says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know, I guess this is the same version, that know him who is true, and we in him who is true by being in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God in eternal life, that we've been gifted with the understanding to know God better. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall or will be filled. Righteousness is merely a working definition, is God's way of doing things. So let's be filled as we know God more. Amen. Last scripture will be Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Hallelujah. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If we want to know God better, then let us seek after the fear of the Lord. Fear, we can say, as the body of Christ, is awe and reverence. Be in awe and reverence of God in all things at all times, and you will increase in your knowledge of God, and you will begin to have true wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get something? Glory to God. I want to read this. This was from Keith Moore. It says, the power of, it was titled, Power of God, Miracle, is one, first, we have to hear from God. Two, to receive the power of God in miracles is one, first, we have to hear from God. Two, respond in obedience without resistance. And three, watch God do it, wait for the right timing. So if we want to experience the power of God and the miracles that we know he can do in and through us, then first, we have to hear from him. That means we have to know his voice. It means we have to have a relationship with him to really know his voice as a child, as a parent knows, as a child knows the voice of a parent, and as a parent knows the voice of a child, they can hear a child crying and say, I don't even have to see it. I know that's my child. Or a parent can be calling in a crowd, and the child is going to go and run to that parent. Why? Because they know their voice. There is an intimate relationship. Two, we have to respond in obedience without resistance. And three, we have to watch God do it and wait for the right timing. It's not about when we want it done. God's never early, and God is never late. Amen. Glory to God. I hope you got something from this. I know I sure did. There were some things I was thinking about. I'm saying, Lord, help my faith in these areas. And he was showing me some things that I need to do differently. Glory to God. We all grow together. Amen. Amen. So that we will be the full stature of Christ. Christ is huge. And the body needs to grow together so that it's Jesus is not a caricature where it's the big head and the little body. The body needs to be in proportion to the head, which is Christ. So let's all grow together. Glory to God. I don't have any one specific thing on my heart, but if you've just been saying, you know, I've been struggling in my relationship with God, in growing deeper, my hunger just has not been there the way that I desire it to be, the way I know my spirit desires it to be, I'd like to pray for you. If you've just been struggling, it's like, man, there's just some things I haven't been getting over. So many times it's in our mind, and we need to deal with the battle in our mind. And on our bulletin, there's some great things about the battle of our mind and the things that we can speak over ourselves in order to deal with that. But if you need prayer, just say, you know what, I need to break through this. Take an opportunity to come up here. That you would experience the fullness of God. Because I don't think there's a single person in here that doesn't want to experience the fullness. I don't think I've experienced the fullness yet. And if there's anyone who needs prayer and just say, help me to get over that, the altar's open. Glory to God. Hallelujah.